guys. Welcome to another episode of Allegedly the Podcast with me, Matthew Colweiss, and
Theo Vaughn.
This is the competitive podcast where Theo and I compete to win each three rounds and then win the entire podcast. And we have a celebrity guest who will be the judge and will be the interview subject. So today we have the amazing,
sexy, and funny Miss Sherry O'Terry.
Sherry O'Terry. Theo, would you stop doing that? Sherry, hi.
Hi, guys.
Yes, we have Sherry. And you know what? First woman on our podcast.
Oh, that's true.
I can
true.
Smell it.
Times have changed.
You know. So yeah. you are breaking ground. You are the first woman on our podcast. So we have three rounds, Sher.
I smell balls.
Sorry. We got three rounds. First off, this is called Allegedly because we're kind of like pulling back the skin of Hollywood and showing what like Hollywood's really
pulling
like.
Pulling back the foreskin, as it were.
As it were. Oh, I hate doing that, by the way. Anyway.
Shitting.
Wait, that's one thing you guys have in common. You guys have both probably rolled back a little foreskin in your day.
Don't pretend like you have it. You never?
I never have.
Never?
I never have. My penis is whatever they call it when you're a Christian.
Cut.
Circumcised.
Yeah, uncircumcised.
Anyway, so the first round is Theo and I are each going to tell a story about an experience that we've had in Hollywood. You get to judge which one is more interesting, more exciting, more embarrassing, whatever. You can ask questions during the story.
And at How long are they?
They each are five minutes.
Okay.
And then the second round is we're going to interview you. We're going to take turns asking questions, and you get to decide based on whatever criteria you want who did a better job.
Mm-hmm.
And the last round is kind of a free-for-all topic where we will all discuss a topic. Theo will bring one up. I'll bring one up. It's called 7 Minutes in Hell, in which we each bring up a topic that might make the other person uncomfortable to discuss.
Right, because Matt and I are, you know, total opposites. Like, Matt's prepared, I'm unprepared. Matt's gay, I'm straight. Matt's Jewish, I'm Christian. Matt's from Philadelphia, I'm from Louisiana. But we're both, like, depressed and oftentimes self-loathing.
So there you go.
On the upside.
All right.
So that's our friendship.
And our stories that we tell are true.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to be true. All right. You want me to go first?
Matt's going
to
go first.
All right.
Matt, 5 minutes on the clock. Andrew, do you have that?
All right. True story. I went through a period of thinking I wanted to date porn stars. Not a joke. And it was a bad decision. But what happened was I was working at TMZ, and we did a story about a porn star from Big Brother, the show Big Brother, who went into porn.
Male porn star.
Male porn star. And then this famous drag queen, Shishi LaRue, she contacted me and said, thank you so much for doing this. Why don't you come to the porn set and see what one's like? And I was like, okay. So I went, and it was not interesting at all, but there was one guy that I started talking to.
Were they doing sex at it?
I didn't see the sex parts. It was the preparation stuff that I saw, and it was like the storyline stuff.
Matt's got to get out more. He goes to a porn set, and he, you know, he gets to see the setup.
Yeah, it's true.
How was crafty?
Yeah.
But there was one guy, and I started talking to, and he was really handsome, and I kind of knew him as a porn star, whatever. So we start hanging out, and the thing about this guy is he tells me he's got two favorite people in the world, Madonna and Britney Spears. You know, how cliche.
Right.
About a week later, I get invited to a party that Madonna's throwing. I get invited through my friend who works for the New York Times, and she asks me to go. And I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to score points with this guy. For whatever reason, I wanted to date this porn star. Maybe I can get him in. So I get him in. Little did I know that he is a raging alcoholic. We get there, he starts drinking, and drinking a lot. And then we see that Justin Timberlake's there. And now Madonna's not even there yet. Justin Timberlake's there.
Wow, this is good.
He's really excited.
Right?
And he's like, you got to meet Justin Timberlake. I have a friend in common with Justin Timberlake. So he was kind of tipsy at the time. So I said, we'll go meet him. So I go over to Justin and I was like, hey, my name's Matt. You know my friend so-and-so. And he's like, yeah, how's she doing? Blah, blah, blah. And then this guy goes, why did you fuck over Britney?
Oh my God.
Justin Timberlake's face. I was so embarrassed. He goes, I love Britney. And Justin looks at me like, what the fuck? And I was like, oh, dude, I am so sorry. Like, I don't know.
Why would you bring a first date to something?
Dude, I was going through a very weird experiment stage where
so you bring all of us down with you.
So I bring all it was one of the
Justin wasn't going through a weird experience.
Justin was just trying to make it through his shitty evening surrounded by a bunch of freaking aggressive gays.
That's true. I said I am so sorry, I barely know this guy. And he was like, dude, I guess it's okay, like, go over. So I go over and I say to the guy, like, that was uncalled for. And I say, you know, like, actually, like, I don't want anything to do with you for the rest of the night. And
but now that you're in, go have at it.
And he did. He took off his shirt in the middle of this event, and I was like, I was so embarrassed. I was with my friends from the New York Times too, by the way. And I was like, I can't deal this. And security kicked him out. And not only did they kick him out, but he left right after Madonna showed up, right before Madonna showed up. So he missed Madonna, which is the, you know, the icing on the cake, he didn't even get that. But it was one of the most embarrassing moments in my professional/celebrity life. And believe me, I learned lessons through that. And I have never dated a porn star again.
Did you bang him out or not?
No, I didn't even get to do anything with him.
The lesson is, do not give Matt Weiss a plus one.
That's true. Actually, I met Sherry at an event. That's how we became friends, was an event like that. I wasn't with a porn star. And I wasn't drunk, but, you know, sometimes it works. This was just one of the bad experiences. And I learned my lesson. Don't date porn stars and don't let them go up to Justin Timberlake.
Don't bring somebody to a party like that someone brought you to.
I know.
Yeah,
it was horrible.
You don't know. Yeah.
It was horrible.
I would have unfriended.
Yeah. Come to think of it, I haven't spoken to her in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you haven't. You're that creepy dude who brings up male porn stars.
He was very attractive.
He took his shirt off at the party?
He did. He took his shirt off.
Was he the only person there with his shirt off?
Yeah, this was eight. It was from Madonna adopted the kid from Malawi. Mm-hmm. So it was a fundraiser for Malawi orphanages. Nonetheless, and this kid saying that sort of stuff at the Malawi orphanage.
Hey, nothing saves an orphan like a topless Chippendale.
Yeah, right.
All right, so there's my embarrassing story.
Yeah.
That's up there, huh?
Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
Theo's turn.
Okay, my story.
And the clock. And we're good?
So I've been doing stand-up comedy now for about 13 years and doing a Netflix special this year. Very exciting time.
Yeah.
But I first started, I worked in reality television. I was a cast member on a show called Road Rules a long time ago.
Yes, he was.
And we got to go to the Video Music Awards.
Okay.
So I sat this was right when this is actually in your wheelhouse a little bit. Chris Farley had just passed away, and I sat right behind his brothers at this event. And it was
Johnny and Kevin.
Super sweet guys. And it was
the
just
coolest.
Like, it was crazy. And I was sitting next to like Tim Robbins, and I'd never even been to New York City before. So like, I'm in New York City.
New York City.
Like, I don't even know what to wear. You know, I'm like, I went and bought a shirt.
Good for you.
Why, you weren't wearing any shirt?
No, I mean, I was from Louisiana. Like, it's kind of
you don't wear shirts there. Yeah, you should hang out with the porn star.
Yeah,
you guys will do.
But I was like, holy smokes, this is fun. So we went to this party, and then afterwards, we were at a party with J Lo when she was dating Puff Daddy. Puff Diddy.
Yeah,
P Diddy.
You're dating yourself.
So
this was a long time ago.
I am dating myself, but this is part of my life. And so I went to this fun party, and it was just exciting. Like, it was crazy, you know. Like, Susan Sarandon was also sitting next to me because this. When her and Tim Robbins were, I guess, husband and wife or something. So I'm leaving that party, and there's two gals getting into a taxi, right? And they pull me into a taxi, and they're like, you want to come with us? And I was like, I don't know, you know? And they're like, yeah, you do. And I was like, all right. I can't make decisions for myself. So next thing you know, I get in this taxi with these girls, and they take me, and it was two white girls. Maybe one of them was white. She might have had something else. And then one girl was black, and one girl was definitely white. And so we went to a bar, and then next, you know, we end up back at this girl's apartment, right? And I'd never been to, like, anybody's apartment in New York and everything. Like, everything's just exciting to me. And they just had this huge room. It was like a studio with two beds in it, right? And so these two of the girls start making out on one of the beds.
What?
And I was like, whoa, right? So it only leaves me and one other girl, right? And I was like, okay, cool. So we start kind of making out.
Some guys try to make that happen. You're like, what? Huh? Where?
New York City.
That's like my whole life is just, you just described it. So next thing you know, like, everybody's like naked, but everybody's on their own separate beds. And I'm telling this girl, like, why don't we go see what other beds are in the room, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and so then, like, there's like people have all these sex toys out and stuff. It was insane, right? It was insane. But then this girl broke out some sort of drugs, right? Mm. And so next scene, I don't remember if I got involved in some of the drugs or not, but I might have possibly gotten involved in some of the drugs.
Okay.
So then for some reason, I start getting like real angry. I start getting like a lot of anxiety and start getting like kind of paranoid or whatever. And then one of the girls, I don't remember what happened, but there was like a little bit of a fight across the room, which is crazy to go from like sex to a fight, you know? Mm-hmm. And I was bummed out because I was
and then
like
back to sex again. Yeah. And then to fight.
Anyway,
and then
so
back.
One of the girls leaves and then it's just me and two of the girls, right? Which is still awesome. But like now I'm starting to like, I started getting kind of paranoid and like realizing where I was. Like I was in the city. I don't know who these people are. Like started kind of getting freaked out.
There are two girls that want to have sex with you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how I fucked
and
it up.
And apparently it's relevant, the color of their skin.
No,
one was white and one
remember.
Was something else. Okay.
I don't remember who was left. Anyway, so there's two girls. So like, I was like, for some reason, I was also really fucked up, I guess. I was like, I got to get out of here, right? Like, still to this day, one of the worst moves ever made in my life. But they had like all these sex toys out and I was like, I got to remember this evening somehow. So I grabbed one of the sex toys when nobody was looking and just put it in the back of my shirt, right? So like in the back of my like underwear belt.
Yeah, in the back. I'm sure you did.
Shut up. So I'm leaving. I get to, I leave their place. I don't even know where their place is.
I want proof I didn't get laid.
I got to finish. I stopped at a bodega to get something like a snack or something, like some they had like some kind of water or something I got. And then I'm leaving and I realize I dropped whatever. I was like, holy shit, where's this dildo? It was like this huge, pretty big dildo thing. And I was like, I dropped it. I don't know where it is. And I remember look back into the bodega and there was like this Vietnamese kid. I guess his parents worked there in one of the aisles. And he like was just like holding it up by like the string, like it had like this string and stuff that went to it. And I was just,
no.
I was like, this ain't mine anymore.
God.
I was like, take it back to whatever kind of, ironically, it's probably it was made
first
in his homeland.
Oh
you
my
know,
God.
I mean, you obviously don't care about hygiene. I care about where I am, you know, but not hygiene.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean,
or morals. He did steal something as well.
Yeah, yeah. I'll show her. No, you can't fuck me, but I will take your dildo. Like, what are you going to use it for?
I just needed a memento because I scrapbook. I was like, I wish I had picked something smaller. Trust me. And I do. I do scrapbook pretty heavily, man. That's on the DL.
That's the page that's sticking up.
The book is like this. It's like an obtuse.
Oh, my God.
All right, Cher. So that was round one. You get to pick a winner. Which story did you like better or did you find more interesting? And you can – whatever criteria you want.
Okay. I'm going to go with the dildo.
Yeah.
But I love both of your stories in where you don't get laid.
That's true.
Matt, high five.
You
woo!
Know, that's what we have in common.
Losers unite. Losers unite. Losers unite.
All right. End of round one. Congratulations, Theo. You won. On to round two, the interview.
All right. We'll put 15 minutes on the clock.
You ready? All right, I'm going to do the first question, and this is something that I tell people about. Sherry is a good friend of mine, and this is something I tell people about Sherry that they don't...
Well, not bringing you to a party.
That's true.
Don't hold that against me.
Well, she keeps her shirt on at parties. That's what he means by good friend.
I'm going to tell you something. My brother used to... didn't know he was a kid and would get my mother's vibrator and go outside to with his friends and put it up, and he would sing a song while holding it to his neck. I wish I would and ask my Oida.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's artsy. Dude, that could get, yeah.
That could be a whole America's Got Talent routine.
Hulu would buy that series.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Anyway, so Sherry's a good friend of mine, and I tell people I know this, and they don't know this. Is this true, Sherry, that your last name is O'Teary, and that the reason people say it's Sherry O'Teary is because of the first time on Saturday Night Live when your name was announced?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Like Don Park?
Well, I always said O'Teary, and I still say O'Teary.
Because that's what it is.
That's what it is. And then when I met Don Pardo, I was walking.
Who's the announcer from Saturday Night Live?
Yeah, he passed
Saturday
away
night.
This past year. But what a beautiful man. And he stopped me in the hallway, and very tall, and white hair, full head of white hair. And he's like, Sherry, I'm Don Pardo. And I cracked up because it's like, wow, he
like
just sounds
how
like
he
this all the time.
Yeah.
And I go, hi! And I was looking at him, and he goes, I need to ask you a question. How would you like me to pronounce your name? And I didn't think that there was any way other
you could say it wrong. Yeah.
You know, and I go, just the way it is fine. And he goes, good. I like the rhyme. It rolls off the tongue. And I was like, the rhyme.
The rhyme.
And then when it's the funniest thing, when the show is on, you know, I hear my name, Sherry O'Terry. And I was like, oh.
I got a new name.
Yeah.
And so, and it's stuck.
It's stuck and it doesn't stick. You know what I mean? It's not that much of a difference to me that I correct anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
You know, but all the O'Terrys say O'Terry. No O'Terry that I ever met says O'Terry.
All right. So Sherry O'Terry
but
is here with us.
But it would make sense because it's C-H-E-R-I,
yeah.
O-T-E-R-I. Why would Sherry be one, say one, you know, and O'Terry be another?
What's your middle name?
Yeah.
And Mary.
I do the crossword puzzle a lot.
I was just going to say that. I do a lot of crosswords, and you are in the crossword all the time.
Wow, that's crazy.
I am in the New York Times and LA, and it's...
How does that make you feel?
Yeah, that's got to be a level of fame that a lot of people don't have.
Not if that's the only one you don't get. God, I'm stuck on this one SNL alum.
Because that's the definition, SNL alum.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to ask you an SNL question. So I know whenever you first started on SNL, the year before was the last year for Mike Myers, Kevin Nealon, Chris Elliott... And I think maybe even Adam Sandler, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Was that...
And Chris Farley.
Were you bummed? Was that because... I mean, not... But obviously, it was super exciting. And I mean, like... I mean, for, you know, like a young comedian... Or not young, but a middle-aged comedian like myself, like... That would be like the holy grail to have the opportunity to be on SNL. But were you... Or, I mean, that would be an amazing achievement. Were you... Were you... When you first found out you got it... Were those guys still cast members? Was there like any of a letdown? Like you were like,
no,
oh, I'm not going to get to work with them.
I heard that they were doing a huge sweep of everybody. Yeah, they were really cleaning house. And actually, that Lorne was, Michaels was pretty much always in control of everything. And at that point, the ratings were low. So NBC came in and it was more, you know, a 50-50. Lorne and NBC had to agree.
Mm.
Yeah. And so, and I didn't think anything of it, really. It's not like I knew I would meet them, but
right.
It didn't lessen the experience. No, it didn't.
Right, like if I'm going to play, like say the Texas Rangers draft me or something, and then like right whenever I'm getting to camp, you know, like the like three of their star players are not going to be, they'll find out they're not going to be there. I'm just wondering, were you,
right?
Was there like...
No, not at all. The refreshing thing about it is we all got to start. It's like starting school, first grade, you know, all together. So there aren't any groups that are already set that you're, you know... you're worried about fitting in.
Right.
You know, we all got to start at the same time, which was great because it was an excitement and, you know, being naive and no cliques were formed and everybody was just so excited and there weren't any groups or, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, that came in time.
Yeah.
But there was
so you weren't bummed out about that.
No.
It wasn't like a bummer thing. It was just like, it was an exciting thing. Those were guys that were leaving and you guys were coming in and that was that.
Yeah, and I knew I would probably get to meet them, you know, it's, you know, at some point. And Spade stayed.
So cool. Ah.
And so did Norm MacDonald.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For another year. And Tim Meadows.
Yeah.
Love him.
I interviewed him one time. Super nice.
Man. Oh, he's great. He's so great.
Norm, I opened up for Norm at a thing in Oklahoma City one time, and he was going through like a drug time. I think he was pretty pilled up.
Oklahoma City. Now that's a lively crowd.
They didn't notice. They thought he just didn't know like that many words.
He seems smart.
Exactly.
But I remember, and I was like, Norm was like, man, there's a lot of hot chicks at this thing, huh? And in my mind, I'm like, no way. Most of these chicks are like the worst looking. Some of these people don't even look like chicks.
That was just his way of saying, you're not gay now, are you?
But then I go, I was just thought I'd placate him, like, oh, he doesn't really know. He doesn't have a good judge of what's hot. I was like, yeah, man, there's definitely some lookers. And he's like, fuck no, there isn't. It just blew my mind. The last thing I expected was for him to be
that's great.
Hip to it.
Now, sir, you were there on SNL for a while, and you tons of celebrities, I'm guessing, the hosts and the musical guests. And do you have one experience
that
just comes to your mind as, like, the coolest, best experience with any interaction with any of the hosts or...
Oh, my gosh.
Or something like that that was maybe, like, a I don't know, a life moment, you know?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I remember... I had written a sketch. I had I forget who the host was, but I knew our musical guest was Snoop Dogg, and I so wanted to do Barbara Walters interviewing him. I really, really wanted to do that, and so I wrote it, and no one was really even down with writing it with me because, you know, it's for the host. But it was something I really, really wanted to do, and everybody knows you want to write for the host. And I just thought by chance, you know. So, and once you write something, you can write two things with your name first, and then that's it. And if you're not cast, which I wasn't cast very much, then you're depending on your, you know, whatever you wrote to get on the show. So, you know, people were saying you're crazy. You don't even know if he's going to do it.
Yeah,
you don't know if he's gonna be
like have a good sense
high
of humor about, yeah.
or you know yeah. if he can read or you know anything. Yeah. And so I just did it anyway, and it did well in the room, and then it got picked, and then I heard, you know, Snoop was downstairs and said he wanted to meet me, and I went down and I walk in this room and it is completely dark. You cannot see a thing. He goes, he's sitting there, and it just is smells of pot. It's not, it just smells. I can barely see him. And my it's burning my eyes. But I'm so happy, and this girl is cornrowing his hair. And he goes, listen, this is really funny, man. This is really, really funny. And I was like, so tickled. I'm like, oh, thank you. It means so much to me that you feel that way. And he goes, yeah, I really want to do this. And I was like, okay, I'm so excited. I go, you really get where I'm going? He goes, honey, I totally understand what you want.
Wow.
And he was so on the ball and everything. And he goes, oh, and by the way, I'm sorry about this. And I go, oh, no, no, it's okay. And he goes, I can ask her to leave. He wasn't sorry about the pot. He was sorry, apologized for the girl cornrowing his hair. Like, that was offensive. And I was like, oh, no, she can stay. I cracked me up. But anyway, so we're set for the show, and we are the last. We have a dress show at 8 o'clock, and we're last on the roster. And that means on SNL, when you're last in the show at the 8 o'clock show, they don't hold out much hope that you're going to, you know, you're going to do well. So we're last.
But did that fire you up? Like, we're in the, you know, like this,
I just felt like, yeah. I was still excited.
A little bit, yeah.
I was really excited. And through the whole week, every time I talked to him, you know, he said to me, hey, Cher, can I put a cousin in the sketch? And I was like, sure.
In a sketch where it's just Barbara Walters interviewing Snoop Dogg.
No, truly. And I go, yeah. And then the next day, hey, Cher, can I put another cousin in the sketch? And I'm thinking to myself, Snoop, all right. And I swear I don't know what I'm going to do. And then it's the day of the show, and he goes, Sherry, I'm so sorry. One more cousin. I got to put one more. And I'm thinking, what the fuck am I going to do here? Right? So what it was I thought to myself, all right, tell your cousins they all got to be in suits. They have to be in suits. So what I did was, it was me sitting across from him, and we were sitting in supposedly his house. Mm-hmm. And I made all of his cousins in suits with their hands behind their back and sunglasses, his bodyguards. And then I worked it in. I go, Snoop, surrounded here by your bodyguards, I feel very safe. From what? I don't know. And at the end, and I was thinking, and it was killing. The whole sketch was killing. And it was like, I can't believe it, because first of all, it's 2 hours long, that show.
Yeah.
And people are pissed off that it's not the live show.
Yeah.
Right? And afterwards, It did so well. I got off stage, he got off stage, and then I just found him. I ran into his arms and hugged him so hard, and he was smiling from ear to ear, and I go, do you know how good you did? Do you know how good you did? Do you know how good you did? And then it goes to air. We're the first sketch out.
Wow.
And
that's, I mean, that's validating, and
I will never, just... ever, because everybody was like, Sherry, you're crazy. You're crazy for doing this. You're wasting your, you know, the one sketch on, you know, and it just, I mean, the first sketch out, it was kind of like I believed in this. Yeah. I knew that I was going to make this sketch with him, and he could not have been cooler, on the ball. I mean, quick.
Awesome.
He was A plus.
That's really cool.
A plus.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You're like, you were like perfectly crazy for that, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's like cool things that have happened, but I think that was kind of like one of those things that where you know, the odds were so against, but, you know, no one even wanted to help me write it.
Yeah.
But, you know,
killed it.
That's a good story.
That's an amazing story, actually.
Your question, buddy.
That's unbelievable. How do you feel about Donald Trump?
Ooh.
Well,
we were just talking about this before we started.
I feel like it's going to be a very, very entertaining election.
Yeah.
Election year. But at the same time, I also feel like he's going to take votes away from, you know, if I was in the Republican Party, I would say, now we've, you know, this is all entertaining and good. And of course, as I was just saying to Matt, you know, there are people that are sitting in their Barca lounge saying, that's right, we need somebody who just calls it like it is. And, you know, but at the end of the day, it comes down to experience. Even though I would say President Obama didn't have a whole lot of foreign policy experience, and that's what they were all riding on.
Yeah.
But he doesn't either.
Right.
But
yeah,
I feel like he, you know, Obama has more of a world intellect.
Yeah. You know? I agree. He probably, Trump doesn't.
And like, and I believe that he is smart enough, he's been smart enough to surround himself with, you know, the smartest people to educate him, Obama, where I think that Trump's ego will keep him from that.
Be his demise.
Will be his demise.
Yeah.
You know, because a great leader will surround himself with the smartest people. And sometimes, you know, that falls to the wayside. You know, you don't know unless you're in it. But I believe that he made such an effort to surround himself with the most educated people in their field to assist him. And I don't think that Donald Trump has the ego for that.
Yeah.
All right, my question, Cher. How have you found
a good answer
Hollywood after SNL and then moving out here? What do you think is like the biggest misconception about what it really is like here?
That's a good question.
I don't know that there's any misconceptions. I mean, you know, you just say this business is hard.
Yeah.
And it's hard when you're not doing it. It's hard when you're in the thick of it. Because let me think about this. So many people don't get a break.
Yeah.
So many talented people. And with the best intentions, not wanting to be famous, not in it to be famous, but in it because they love the craft.
Yeah.
You know, but it makes it very, very hard when our industry is giving so many opportunities to people that really want to be famous.
Right.
More than people that have such a love of it.
Right.
And
or a talent, too, a lot of times.
Right. And so it's not fair.
Yeah,
it's not
fair. There's absolutely nothing fair about this business. And yet we all feel like, well, that's not fair. Yeah. I even find myself saying, but wait a second. That's not. And then I stop myself. Like, it just isn't fair.
Yeah.
And as much as it has to do with talent, it has to do with networking.
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess schmoozing. And that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you also have to be good at that.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah, and that's like a whole nother art, I think, for people.
It really is. And
it's a sacrifice, you know, to do that sometimes when you don't like... There's a lot of times where it's like, do I want to go schmooze these people at the club, or do I just want to, you know, be confident in my own skills and just, you know, focus and just be happy, you know, with the things that do come my way.
And there's some people that do it so brilliantly. I don't think I'm one of them. I think if I connect with somebody and it's pretty organic, I'm so grateful.
Yeah.
You know? But even if I didn't feel like it was easy to connect with that person, I would, you know, I would do what I could to make conversation.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah. I'm just not good at
faking it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Rolling the whole way. Yeah. Sure. I have another one I want to know. You must have some crazy fans from the SNL days.
Oh, yeah.
And the characters.
I got
What's
a ton
been
of
like
fans
the craziest about. Like fan run-in that you've had? Do they like ask you to do your characters, or do they
I was at a gynecologist's office once.
No,
yeah.
No way.
And the assistant before the doctor came in, I'm in the stirrups, the whole thing, and she leans in to my ear. She goes, "Hey, can I have a little cheer?" I couldn't believe it. Yeah, it was true.
What? Did you do it?
Come on.
I said, my feet are in stirrups right now, so I don't really feel like I need to move my feet.
Yeah. This isn't a very cheerful moment.
Yeah, right. Pap smear. I couldn't believe it was like, I can't believe she's asking
wow.
me this.
For a lot of celebrities, a lot of it is like, for male celebrities, I think a lot of it is like, you know, there's a lot of guys that will hook up with their fans. Did you ever have as a female celebrity, did you ever have an encounter where you hooked up with a fan?
Groupies.
Yeah, you ever have a groupie? And
No, but yeah. I think when you meet like a regular guy, you know, they can, it's not a groupie, but the reason they're going out with you in the first place is because of that curiosity, you know, of, you know, it's like anybody, it's like, I think I could get them, that person, or especially when you meet a guy and I met this guy and it was like, I went out with him, and then the second time I went out with him, he gave me a script.
Really?
Uh-huh. And I was so disappointed.
It was Schindler's List.
I was so disappointed. And then the funny thing was I read it and I was so offended by it.
I can't believe you read it. That's
I
very
love
nice.
The fact that you read it.
Well, because I thought to myself, I want to see where this guy's head's at.
Yeah.
It was so incredibly offensive that I told him. And we were having lunch. And he went off. And he's like, "How dare you?" And I go, No. "How dare you give me a script to give you feedback on the second time that... you know, we go out. I didn't want to meet you today, but you asked me if I would meet you for lunch. And I thought, all right, I will. And I'm going to give you the feedback that you wanted."
What a dick.
Yeah. You know, I love it. Whenever you have a job, everybody thinks that you are now casting. I am officially casting and getting scripts financed.
When I was growing up, my grandfather genuinely thought I could get in touch with Steven Spielberg. Like, this was the way, like, I would say, "I want to be a filmmaker," and he'd go, "Call Steven." I'm like, "That's not how it works."
Or your mother, "You saunter in and you tell
Mr. Spielberg
that I will are the best thing that'll ever happen to him."
One of my best favorite stories of Matt's is when your dad thought you were
What do you mean?
Jimmy Fallon?
Jimmy Kimmel. My dad, who's getting older,
his dad
was watching TV one night, and he was sleeping on the couch, and he just kind of woke up, and Jimmy Kimmel was on the show, and he was doing his monologue. And for whatever reason, he thought it was me. And he runs up and wakes up my mom and says, "Honey, Matt's on TV. He's doing a monologue. He must have a show that we don't know about." And my mom's like, What? And so she turns on the TV, and she's like, "Gary, that's fucking Jimmy Kimmel. Like, that's not your son." This is before
Gary.
He had a stroke.
I just wonder what your dad's been getting Jimmy Kimmel for Christmas every year.
After the stroke, he's like, it's like, what woman's on TV? And he thinks
it's
you.
Yeah, he sees like Julie Chen and he goes, "Oh, Matt's on.
Matt's hosting
Big Brother."
He didn't tell us. He didn't tell
true
us.
True story. For whatever reason.
Surprise.
My dad thought that I was Jimmy Kimmel.
I had Judge Judy call my manager and say that she was watching TV. And she was in bed. Her husband was watching TV and he woke her up and goes, "Judy, you're on TV. And it was me doing her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so she called my manager and said, and I go, "Oh my gosh." I was like, my heart was pounding. And she goes, "You tell your client that Judy Shineland said she almost has me."
That's awesome. And by the way, with my Jimmy Kimmel thing, I thought the funny thing wasn't that he thought that was me, but that I wouldn't have told him that I had my own late night talk show.
Yeah.
That, hey, maybe you guys want to stay up and watch this. You know, like, anyway. All right. I think we end round two there.
My grandma, you know, like, oh my God, she just was always like, "What are you doing?" What, you know, when I was not on SNL, and, you know, I guess I got her. She was very popular with everybody at St. Andrews and the whole casino crowd. And, "Well, what are you doing?" "Well, what can I tell my friends?" And I'm like, "Jesus, Grandma, this is a rough business. It's not like..." And I go, "Well, I'm doing a guest spot on my friend's pilot. It's like just a pilot." And, I get all these calls from everybody in my family. You're going to be on Friends. You're on Friends. You're going to be on Friends. And that's when Friends was, Sherry's on Friends. When are you going to be on Friends? And I'm like, oh, my grandma. She hears what she wants to hear.
Exactly. All right, Cher, we're putting it back in your court. Who won the interview round?
Oh, my gosh, you guys, I didn't realize I was judging that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean.
Okay, guess, ask, Matt wins this round.
All right, on to round three, which is our group discussions about a topic that we'd like to discuss. Theo, I'm going to let you take this one first, please.
Yep, this round three, this is called 7 Minutes in Hell, and so I get to create a topic that Matt may not want to talk about, and Matt gets to create one that I won't want to talk about.
And how do I have fun?
You just talk.
We all make it into a group discussion.
I'm going to drop another dildo on the ground. That's how it goes. But no Vietnamese boy.
All right. No. I want to talk about reality television. Do you watch it?
Oh, I'll say this then. One of my favorite moments.
This is not about you.
Well, okay. That's okay. One of my favorite moments. It is part of your topic. Is this time going? Thank you very much, Andrew. One of my favorite moments I've had in LA when we all were at Masters that night and we made up fake reality shows, and one of them that Sherry came up with was called, I tell this story all the time, was called Gravity Hunters, and it was about people that went around.
I remember this. Do you remember this?
Looking for gravity.
Oh my gosh.
Ridiculous.
I have one. I was just in Rhode Island a few weeks ago and I went to Block Island, mm-hmm. And we took a boat to Block Island. I get on there, we rent mopeds. And we're driving, we're going all over the island. And then we stop at this, like, bar, club that's right on the beach, all outdoors. And it's where young people go, you know, like, get crazy. And they said that there was, like, 14,000 people there. This was a huge place. And then all of a sudden, these two girls are getting in a fight while we're there. It wasn't 14,000. It was the week before. Right. Okay. And this was the next week. And they had servers, bartenders from all over the world. That's a part of a thing where they send servers an agency. Mm-hmm. And anyway, so these two women are getting in a fight over this guy. And it's so funny. They're screaming. And it wasn't crowded. It was middle of the daytime. And my friends and I are just loving this. And they start to, you know, guys are holding them back. And it was so funny because then the one woman goes, "I'm the mother." It was a mother-daughter.
Fighting against each other over a guy.
I don't know what the fight was over the guy, something, but they were drunk, and it was really, really sad. And I'm like, more like Cockblock Island.
Hey.
And then I just thought, that's it. Cockblock Island, where you put like young single people on an island, right? A really tropical, beautiful island, and someone just every time someone's about to hook up, someone's got a cockblock.
That's awesome.
Someone breaks out their Hep C positive test.
Yeah, there you go.
Buzzkill.
By the way, the reason I bring up reality TV is because Theo is a star of reality television. He was on Road Rules.
TV, and Road Rules.
I'm not sure how much you like to talk about your reality past.
I'm okay with it now, I think. It was kind of weird for a little while.
Yeah, I know. I know that would make you uncomfortable. Why?
Well, the only weird thing for me was like, because I started doing comedy and people were like, well, this guy's not a comedian. He's just known as this, right?
Right.
Like the first 3 years I was doing stand-up, like people were like yelling from the audience, like, did you fuck Trishelle? Like while I'm on stage, right? Which was hilarious. And at the same time, like, bro, let me get through this joke.
Right,
know?
Yeah, completely.
That's called in the business a heckler.
Yes.
Yeah, so these hecklers had come out at times. But I think in the end, it just made me like more like...
Hey, be lucky that they asked you about something like that because they would have heckled something else,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. It could have been, any, been anything.
But you were also on Last Comic, right?
Yeah, and then I got on Last Comic. Then I got like some environment that you know was more in my direction.
Yeah.
But I think reality TV's changed a lot. I mean, it used to be so different.
Do you watch a chair?
You know?
Oh, I watch some shows.
What do you watch? You seem like a Bravo girl to me.
Yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Are you a Housewives girl?
Yeah, I like Beverly Hills, New York, Atlanta.
She knows her stuff.
Yeah.
Atlanta's good.
Yeah, and I love the reunion shows.
Really?
Love the reunion shows. I don't even have to watch the whole
the whole season, and then
season.
You just want to watch.
But you know, it's the reunion show that is amazing, and I love watching Andy Cohen.
Yeah, and how did you have fun at his? You did the Watch What Happens Live.
Oh,
Theo was a bartender.
Was a bartender.
Oh, really?
I was on Andy's first show that he ever produced, and out here it was Battle of the Network Reality Stars, and it was horrible. The show was, but Andy was amazing, and he's been a buddy ever since.
I think he's so great.
He's great.
Funny himself, very very funny. He asks the questions that you want to hear, and yet there's you know, he's also got a heart.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not dirty when he's asking it. Yeah. All right. That was my topic.
My topic is going to be always unprepared. Not really. I just have a tough time picking good topics.
Oh, you know what, you guys? I loved Little People, Big World.
Did you? You know what we can talk about is my topic is Little People, Big World, the roll-off divorce.
Oh, ooh, man. Fame hits another one.
Look.
Come on. I'm going to tell you something.
Okay.
Do you think truly, if they didn't have cameras in their house, they could have had a 98% shot of making it? I do.
Yeah.
I completely do.
Wow.
You know.
You think it ruined them?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Because the events that they do are not organic.
Right.
They're set up. You know, we're going to do this.
It's
all very produced. And so you're not living an organic life the way you would have.
Right.
And the one good thing is like with the K+8, these kids are taking trips that they would have never been able to take, which is a wonderful thing for the children, you know, to have all these experiences. But, what it does, that fame does to the parents and how it influences the children as well,
100%
is undeniable,
mm-hmm.
And I loved that show so much. I loved that family so much, and I just got, and I loved that children were going to grow up and see different types of, you know, when I was a kid, you know, I used to get called Midget Munchkin all the time, and you know, no one likes that or anything. And then I remember seeing a little person, and I was blown away. And like a little, you know, I was a child and a little scared.
Yeah.
There's no reason that a child should not, you know, see, know, and exist with, you know, among.
Right.
Well, that can be said about a lot of things. That's why people don't like gay people, because they just don't know them.
Exactly.
You know, they think it's something else.
But I love that. I love what TLC is doing with their programming and introducing, you know, I mean, even like you look at the Duggars, you have to make sure you have to do your own background check. And right. You have to think, what do I want? You know, what's going to get out there? What may get out there? But I just love that family so much.
Well, now he's got a spread with his new wife on People Magazine this week.
Who?
The guy.
Roloff?
Is it Roloff? Yeah. Didn't he just get
Matt?
Married?
Yeah.
Yeah, he got married to a full-sized woman. Mm. And it's
No, that's the son.
Oh, that's the son?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Oh yeah, the son, the last episode I saw was the son was planning his
reunion. Luke?
That's the one.
Is it Luke? Wait.
Who's the son, Andrew? Do you know the son of the Roloffs?
I don't know.
You can look it up.
No, Lucas is Zach.
Zach's the smaller
brother. That's the one.
Brother.
And Lucas is the brown-haired one, the younger boy.
And the girl is
Mary,
really cute.
Right? Mary, I think her name is. And then like the other twin brother, how hot is that guy? He's like an Abercrombie and Fitch thing.
Yeah, the roll-off kids. I mean, I always thought the kids were great.
One's regular size and one's
a
little.
And they're twins?
Yeah.
I always thought the kids were great. I always thought the kids seemed really well-adjusted.
Yeah, and I think because of their parents.
And they ran a pumpkin farm, man. That's it. I mean, that guy did it. He's sort of like the smaller Thomas.
Did you see how their
Thomas
house was
Jefferson.
When they first started the show and what it became? It looks like a freaking bed and breakfast. It's gorgeous now. You know, I think it was more than a pumpkin farm.
Yeah, they
I'm not saying
everything.
They were smelling pumpkins.
There was money in the pumpkins.
They had like a wedding. Now they have a place for weddings. They had like a slave quarters, I think, like even
what?
Built in. They had everything. They had like a yacht yard. Like they had everything by
it
the end
so
of the
enjoyable
show.
It was so enjoyable to watch. Because it was wholesome and yet entertaining, and I loved this family.
Yeah.
And I'm heartbroken that, you know, they're not making it.
And reality TV might have done that. The fact that you're saying that you think that the fact that the show existed is probably what caused some of this.
On reality television,
now,
yes.
You as an actress, you don't have a problem with reality television in general because, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it takes away jobs from, you know, regular stuff.
Well, it's such a runaway train. I mean, at this point.
Yeah.
Sure, it does take away jobs.
Would you ever do a reality show?
No.
No. Have you ever been asked?
Mm-hmm.
But
you know,
I
love
show would be, I
acting. I love that's what I want to do.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know,
just be
live.
You.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's you have to have a personal,
of course,
life.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just couldn't live out loud like that. You know.
So yeah,
I've always liked him, and I actually thought that TLC should. I thought they should have left the Duggars on. This is a great time for people to learn, and actually for the show to really, not really be about something, but I thought it was a great time to see a family really deal with something. Maybe that's
exactly.
Insane.
And the thing is, it's kind of like, you know, well, you can stay on the show as long as you are everything that you say you are.
Right.
But then that is not.
It's not
I mean,
reality.
And 19 kids. Come on. One's got to fuck up.
Oh, agreed.
I mean, 19, your odds just there.
We had four kids. And I
want to know how many are gay.
Yeah, seriously.
You know?
We had four kids, and somebody got a I'm sure somebody got a hand job. I don't know who, but I mean, but I'm just saying, with 19 kids, somebody's not going to accidentally touch somebody in the middle of the night
come
a couple times.
Come on, yeah.
It has to, even if you're just reaching for a glass of water.
Just the odds alone.
Reaching for a glass of water in
at
bed.
19
you know,
kids
hey,
in the middle
that,
of the night?
But you know what, with the roll-offs?
While you're in the shower. I need my glass of water.
With the roll-offs, with them being small in stature and everything like that, I could so relate to the kitchen.
Oh, that's so funny.
You know, I mean, everything's cool in my kitchen height-wise, but whenever somebody tall comes over, I've got a list of tall things.
Yeah. You need
and
them
I'm
to
like,
do?
Well, look at your brother. Hello there, luscious. Come in with those legs that go on forever. And are those muscles? It's kind of like, yeah, tall and muscles. It's like they're not leaving my house without the list going.
Until these curtains are up.
Yeah.
Well, all right. That will round three. Tiebreaker
right.
round.
It's a tiebreaker
for
since
what?
I won round one with the dildo story and Matt won round two.
With the
Snoop, great questions.
Snoop Dogg story.
Right.
Now round three, which was discussing the topic of either the roll-offs.
I brought the roll-offs up. That's
no, but he
fair.
No, yeah, but he chose that as his topic,
right?
Oh, okay. Or
mine, which was just reality TV in general, which pretty much just piggybacked off my topic anyway.
Yes, I did, which is okay. This is LA. You can
I
do
that. I forgot
that
we were doing a competition.
That's okay.
I was just like, you know, I was actually having a relaxed podcast without the games.
Well.
Who's paying for dinner?
To draw, Matt is.
Okay, Matt wins.
Oh, damn. I wish I wasn't so cheap. I should have just said me.
Well, we want to thank you very much, Sherry O'Teary, for coming into our podcast, being the first woman in our podcast as well.
Yep. Sherry, we had one question from a fan that wrote in today. She said, is your Colette Reardon character based on a real person?
Actually, I did a character loosely based on my Italian grandma, which was the Italian woman on the porch. I keep it now when the kids are all playing. And then I have a Nana, my Irish Nana, who was Colette's loosely based on because she took a lot of prescription pills when, you know, in the 70s.
Yeah, that's
when I was
good
growing
ones.
Up. And I just, it was kind of like she would go to the car, and I always knew something was up. You know, she would have only half of her face
right.
done with makeup, or her eyebrow was going right into her hairline. And then my mom would say, after she'd be drinking beer, and you know, and she would take out her beautiful bejeweled pill box and just take them, and it was nothing. People would in the 70s, people would compliment you on your pill box, and then it was like, all right, Nana's gonna walk her to the car. And I remember saying to my mom one time, I said, Mom, should Nana be driving? And then she goes, don't be fresh. And literally, in the 70s, all you were, your responsibility was to walk someone to the car. What happened once they got in there was not your business. It was like, my mom gets a call. What do you mean she wrapped it around a tree? That's impossible. My 7-year-old walked her to the car. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, Mom, I truly was holding on to her. Like, she was holding on to me. It wasn't just walking side by side. Isn't that wrong? I said, don't be fresh. That's what seatbelts are made for.
And thus the character was invented.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, awesome. Wrapping it up, thank you very much, Cher. We really appreciate it.
This was fun.
Yeah, and thanks so much for all the years of awesome entertainment.
You're very welcome.
We love you, Sherry O'Teary.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right. Stay tuned for the next one, guys.
Okay, bye.